I'm Sarah, and you're listening to Cradio. Now, we all know marriage is a fiercely debated topic here in Australia, as in many countries all over the world. Today, I'm joined by someone who has been right in the thick of the debate over in California for some years. His name is Bill May. He's president of Catholics for the Common Good and author of Getting the Marriage Conversation Right, A Guide for Effective Dialogue. Bill, thank you for joining me today.
Oh, it's so good to be with you.
As I mentioned, marriage debates and amendment bills are popping up in many countries and states all over the world. In Australia, we've just had a couple of bills rejected late last year, and the issue is now being brought up at a state level. It's not very foreign to you, I know, because your state in California is pretty unique in that it legalized marriages between same-sex couples in 2008, but then reversed the ruling the same year. Could you tell us a bit about what happened, and in particular, your role during that period?
Certainly. In California, we had a law that really protected marriage and defined it in the laws between a man and a woman. And we knew that people were going to challenge that. Indeed, they did. And the case went all the way to the top court in California, the Supreme Court. And they found it unconstitutional to define marriage as just between a man and a woman. Fortunately, through an effort led by Archbishop Corleone, who's now the Archbishop of San Francisco, and a number of other people, the people had petitioned to get a constitutional amendment. This is a state constitutional amendment on the ballot to essentially overrule the court and restore the definition of marriage as between man and woman. That law was voted on. The Supreme Court overturned the marriage law in May, and the constitutional amendment was voted on in November, restoring it. But in the interim, while the campaign was going on, the court refused to put a stay on their ruling. So in that interim, a number of same-sex couples got married. So we've got really quite a confusing mess in California right now, and the whole issue has gone all the way to the United States Supreme Court. They held oral arguments in March, and they're going to issue a decision on whether the voters have a right to define marriage as between a man and a woman. The issue, it'll probably be decided in June.
Well, the issue is just as active over here. As I mentioned, we've had those bills rejected, but it's now coming up at a state level, and so it's constantly in the media and in parliaments and being discussed in living rooms. And I was just looking at this booklet that you've put together, Getting the Marriage Conversation Right, and it sort of hits the nail on the head in that, you know, ultimately it's not, as people are framing it, an issue of equality. It's largely we need to watch our language, because it's an issue of definition here, and we're actually trying to change a definition. And you talk about in this book, one of the problems is the use of the term same-sex marriage to begin with.
One of the things that we discovered in our research in California, working with volunteer leaders and also studying the social doctrine of the Catholic Church and the teachings of particularly of Blessed John Paul II, was that people had lost sight of what marriage is. Even well-catechized Catholics understand what the Church teaches, but they don't have the capacity to explain what it is in secular language, particularly so that their children can understand it. And this is a huge problem. What has happened over the years, the influences of the culture have really had an effect of redefining marriage in the minds of almost everyone. In terms of being, from a public policy standpoint, only the public recognition of a committed relationship between a man and a woman. But marriage is more than that. So we turn to the catechism of the Catholic Church, and we reflected on, you know, what marriage is and how we could express it in ways that people could understand it. And basically, marriage is the only institution that unites kids with their moms and dads. Marriage unites a man and a woman with each other and any children born from the union. That explains everything about marriage that's in the catechism. It includes, it expresses procreation and motherhood and fatherhood and irreplaceability, which people don't think about with marriage anymore. Everything about it, the foundations of the family of common ancestry, kinship. So really what's happening is marriage is being redefined away from that to be nothing more than the committed relationship for the benefit of adults. Now, one of the traps that we fall into, and the book talks about a lot of the traps we fall into, but one of the big ones is when we use the term same-sex marriage, it's heard by people as participation of gays in marriage. In fact, they will say, we don't want to change it, we just want to participate in it. But that's not what is happening. Marriage is actually being redefined. They take out man and woman, and they put in two people. And what is it? Looking at marriage from the perspective of the child, what is marriage? It is the only institution that unites kids with their moms and dads. So really what's happening is when it's redefined, it's eliminating the only institution that unites kids with their moms and dads and all authority to promote the benefits and the value uniquely of men and women marrying before having children. Now, we know this because we've already seen laws in California that make it really illegal in the schools to promote the unique value of marriage between a man and a woman in many different ways. So this is really important to understand. First step is never, never, never use the term same-sex marriage and always use the term redefining marriage. We're against redefining marriage because it eliminates the only institution that unites kids with their moms and dads. Not every married man and woman has a child. Every child has a mother and a father, and marriage is the only institution that unites them with their mother and father.
It's an excellent point, and when we do try and explain it from that angle to people, I suppose one of the walls that we come up against is that, in a sense, it seems like, well, what we need to do is turn back the clock, because we already have an issue where the marriage rates have been falling, things like no-fault divorce, the fact that in Australia, same-sex couples can already adopt. So it's almost like there's already this separation, there's already this damage done. So innocence might be a bit pessimistic, but it can seem it's inevitable. How are we to respond to this current situation where it's just, this seems to be the last hurdle in what's been going on for years?
Well, you're so right in saying it's a last hurdle. It's, we call it the end game because it really obliterates marriage as the foundation of the family, the family of common ancestry, and obliterates the right of the child to be born into a family with his or her mother and father united in marriage. By the way, that's Catholic social teaching. Most people don't realize that, but a child has a fundamental right to be born into a family with the child's mother and father united in marriage. Isn't that countercultural today? But really, marriage, one of the traps that we fall into when we start talking about adoption and things of that sort, we're not talking about marriage anymore, because as you say, the laws have been changed so that unmarried people can adopt and same-sex couples can adopt. In reality, adoption's another issue, and we ought to have a debate on that issue too, and the child's rights related to that, but it's not connected to the marriage debate. And it's really important. When somebody makes an argument and in support of redefining marriage, just ask yourself the question, what does this have to do with the only institution that unites kids with their moms and dads? And when you get into things where you're talking about people who are parenting kids who have already lost their moms and dads, one or the other or both, it has nothing to do with marriage as the only institution that unites kids with their moms and dads. And in fact, it is that marriage, that commitment for the man and woman to make themselves irreplaceable to each other, that has prepared themselves to receive new life as a gift. And it has also uniquely prepared themselves to to receive a child through adoption, because in reality, the child is irreplaceable to the mom and the dad, and the mom and dad are both irreplaceable to the child, and it's the marriage vow, it's that marriage commitment that has started that circle of irreplaceability that we call the family. That's what marriage is.
I was actually reading an article from one of our national papers here, and I think it sums up a lot of what's coming across from both sides in mainstream media here. It's an opinion piece. He's noted the comments coming in from those who are against redefining marriage. There's references to sodomites, unnatural acts, child abuse, slippery slope. You know, same-sex couples are innately poor role models that cannot be trusted around kids, etc., etc. These seem to be the messages that are coming across in mainstream media from those who are opposed to the redefinition of marriage. I mean, what do you suggest? In Australia, our mainstream media is largely hostile to our cause. What can we do to really push this alternate language, this ultimate framing of the argument across actively?
Well, that's a really good question. We have the same problem in the United States and in every other country around the world. And I found it very, very interesting in New Zealand that they have redefined marriage there, and there's really not very much public support for it, and which really says that politicians don't feel threatened by any kind of a backlash from redefining marriage. I mean, they're doing it whether the public wants it or not. So really, the most important thing is that we all have to get together and develop the same message. And with my book, Parishes Around the United States and Dioceses, there are people getting together and studying this and reflecting on it. But we need a strategy that's not focused on homosexuality, but focused on marriage. Really, our goal should be rebuilding a marriage culture. Now, things aren't as bad in Australia as they are in the United States, but we have a major crisis of the breakdown of marriage. In the United States, it's shocking. You know, for women under 30, half of the births to women under 30 are outside of marriage, and fatherlessness is increasing at dramatic rates with very, very terrible consequences for a lot of young people, and the breakdown of marriage has contributed to more and more children living in poverty. Now, this is something that's coming to Australia, because part of this is how marriage has been redefined in the minds of people, that it's merely an adult-centric institution. When you think about it, sex has been separated from marriage and from procreation. Parenting is more and more becoming like a social role. You know, in the United States, we have men saying crazy things that just because she chose to be a mother doesn't mean I chose to be a father. Well, it's not a matter of choice. At the moment of conception, the woman's a mother and the man's a father. That's a fact. And so all of these things are corrupting the understanding that young people have in what marriage is and why it's important for them to marry in life before having children. I go around and I give lots of talks and all over the country, and I have more Catholic parents come to me, and they said, I don't know where we went wrong, but my daughter is saying, Mom, why do I need to get married? I don't need to be married to have children. What's marriage really for anyway? And so this is the danger. And unless we are promoting it, unless we're explaining what this is and why it's important, what love is, in ways that young people can understand and verify that it's true for themselves, we are going to continue to live in a society where we've lost the concept of what marriage is and the whole concept of the family of common ancestry. You know, one thing for people to remember is today they talk about mothers and fathers just like a biological artifact. It's just biological. But if we think about it, we all have a desire for connection with the man and woman we came from. We have that desire to know them, to be loved by them. It's part of our identity. It's part of who we are. This is an experience of God's plan for creation. And it's an experience that's common to everybody, whether they believe in God or not. Well, marriage is the recognition of that fact, the recognition of God's plan for creation. And it comes about only when it's recognized. And if we change the law and make it illegal, essentially, to recognize it, because that's the fact. That's what happens. When you change the law, you're saying that all relationships are equal. All parenting is equal. All families are equal. And marriage is not something that is important for that. And it becomes discriminatory to say, it's particularly important for men and women to marry before having children. That becomes discriminatory. And people don't really understand that and realize it. So this is a threat to everybody's family, everybody's children, and how they understand what marriage is, how it's going to be portrayed and already being portrayed in the media and the popular culture on TV and film and things of that sort. They're talking about the new normal, that it's normal for kids to not have a mother and father united in marriage. How can this be?
It's very true what you're saying, and it's quite a sad state of affairs. But you do speak with a lot of hope, and I know a lot of people seem to be quite disheartened and seem to be of the opinion of, well, let the culture fall, and our only option now is to live holy Catholic marriages and teach our children well. What would your response be to that attitude?
Well, there's two different things. We have sacramental marriage and we have civil marriage. Actually, both whether it's civil marriage, whether it's the culture, whether it's the government, whether it's the church, we're all recognizing the same reality that marriage unites a man and woman with each other and any children born from the union. So we recognize it with different competencies. And because of Christ's death on the cross, we know that marriage is a sacrament in the Catholic Church through his complete gift of self to us, the giving and receiving that we have in marriage. But when we talk about civil marriage, it is critical for the laity to organize secular society. In fact, that's a charge that's been given to the laity and no one else. Organize secular society respecting the dignity and the rights of the human person. It organized society in ways that promote human flourishing. So really, we can't look at this as a defeatist attitude. Even if marriage was redefined today, as it has been in New Zealand, as it has been in many, many countries, and we have to continue to fight for the reality of marriage as a matter of social justice, because a child has a right to be born into a family with a mother and father united in marriage, and that isn't going to happen unless people know what marriage is, unless they, young people, understand its importance, understand the importance of developing relationships to lead to marriage as the foundation of the family. So it's really a matter of social justice. You know, in many countries, they have abortion now. That's legal. You know, we don't have the attitude, just because it's legal in many countries, that we just have to accept this, let the culture take it. No, there's an injustice here. The taking of a human life. Well, in redefining marriage, there's an injustice too. And we have to witness the truth, and even to the extent we're persecuted, we have to witness that truth as a matter of justice. We don't have to be persecuted, because we've developed, if you read the booklet, we've developed a new way of thinking about marriage and expressing it in ways that our kids can understand what it is and can repeat it to their friends in secular language in ways that their friends, that they don't risk being ridiculed or attacked. Really, the whole secret, and it's right out of the gospel, that Christ said to us, Father, although you've hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to the childlike. So we shouldn't look at marriage you know, from the standpoint of the good of the child, we need to look at what marriage is from the child within us. And when we turn to our own experience, we can recognize the reality of what marriage is and that desire we all have for connection with our mom and dad. And so when we talk about it, we have to talk about it from the perspective of the child in us. In marriage, a man and woman freely choose to make themselves irreplaceable. This is what prepares themselves to receive a child, because in fact, that child is irreplaceable to both of them, and they're both irreplaceable to the child. And it was that marriage that created that circle of irreplaceability that we call the family. When you explain marriage in that way to your children, the teenagers, they say, wow, that's beautiful. I never thought of it that way before. That's I'm so glad mom and dad chose to make themselves irreplaceable through marriage. Or I wish my mom and dad had done that. And this is so beautiful. This is what I want for my children. This is the reality of God's plan for creation. And it's beautiful. It's attractive when we're able to express it in a way that people can verify the truth of it.
Bill, thank you so much for joining us today. There's so much more to be said on the issue, but I know that you'll be coming down under for the World Congress of Families in May.
Yes, I'm so grateful that they've invited me to come and speak to the World Congress of Families. It's going to be a wonderful event. They have it in different parts of the world. This is the 7th World Congress of Families, and this is the first time it's in Australia. So I really encourage people who care about marriage to attend the World Congress of Families. I look forward to seeing you there. Please look for me. I'd love to talk with you. I'd love to meet you. And I'm just really so excited about doing this.
Great. Thank you. So I've got the URL here. The World Congress of Families, 15th to 17th of May in Sydney. It's wcfsydney2013.org.au. And also, if you want to find out more about what Bill May's up to, you can visit the Catholics for the Common Good website. That's ccgaction.org. Bill, thanks again for joining us.
Oh, it's been an honor to be with you. God bless you, and thank you for all the good work you're doing.
And you too. Thank you.
Radio.org.au